The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Praise the Lord. So good to be speaking to us today. This program started yesterday and will finish on the fourth day of the week. We'll rest tomorrow and the next day and head to the fourth day of the week, and Pastor Ben will be speaking on the fourth day of the week. Yesterday, we had two sections. The first section was for parents, talking to your children about sex. The second section was for unmarried people, sex on tiptoes. And we had a nice time. And after that, we had a great time of impartation. And we're continuing today. We'll be speaking to everybody, the married people, the unmarried people, all of us will be accommodated. This is our week, our family workshop week. And we are trusting God that families will return back to God's original agenda. And for a discussion this morning, we are looking at powerful sexuality, powerful marriages, powerful families. One of the things about sex is that once you start talking about sex, some people will wish the ground should open for them to fly in. Before I continue, help me appreciate my husband and the team of pastors. I've married him for, we're going to the 18th year. It's getting better. It's not an easy person to marry, though. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Having gone through the complexities and complications of polygamy, I'm very passionate about family. Some of us have gone through polygamy and didn't go through those complications, and yours were so good. Some of us went through dysfunctional families, and you have the politics and intrigues that go with that kind of family. Having gone through all of that, I find out that the more I talk about family, the more I want to talk about family. That's not the only thing I do. But in the last 2 years, we thank God for good husbands. I've been on a training on marriage and family therapy. And that we have succeeded with it. And we thank God for grace. Today we'll be looking at what will interest everyone. There is something someone said. He said, there is no doubt that it is around the family and the home that all the greatest virtues, the most dominating virtues of human, are created, strengthened, and maintained. So if these things were not done in the family, it means that we don't have a society. Our society today is as strong as the families that are coming out from it. If we want to have strong societies, we must go back to the family. And when God started, he started with family. He didn't start with government, he started with family. So if anything is going to happen, we're going to go back to family. It is at the family level that we're going to learn all the cultures that we're talking about, the culture of honor, the culture of risk and faith. Everything Pastor Ben was teaching about having a moral society, all of that will begin from family. So your family is an institution for learning, for training. Our family is supposed to be a safety net for our children if we understand what is it that the family is about. So for a topic, subtopic, we'll be talking about God loves sex. God is not angry. God is not angry that you're sleeping with your wife. In fact, he was there when Adam and Eve started. It was his idea. Your sexuality is God's idea. And sex is the will of God. I will also show you the scripture. The only thing that sex itself is complaining that some things are going wrong. When God created man and woman, he created sexual beings. If you look at the body of Adam, you won't see him. He's not here now. And you look at the body of Eve, you will see that God created them in such a way that these two people will have sex. So it means that God is interested in our sexuality. And sexuality and other aspects of our life, when you hear the word sex, don't panic. Don't pray that the ground will open for you to enter. Because when you hear the word childbirth, you don't panic. When you hear the word breakthrough, you don't panic. Sex is not a taboo. Sex is not a bad thing. It is the use that we're going to talk about. Now look at what God said. God said, drink water out of your own cisterns, of your own pure marriage relationship, and fresh running waters out of your own well. And he says, let her breast satisfy you at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. God is the one talking, not your girlfriend. Drink water. He didn't say drink water out of your girlfriend's cistern. He didn't say so. Neither did he say drink water out of the person you met maybe at a party and then there was a one night stand, or your neighbor at the school. You just felt your body was on fire. You just wanted to cool down the fire. The person is not a fire extinguisher. He said drink water out of your, say your wife, your wife, your wife. And then if we also talk about wife, it's not two of you decided together to pack into each other. You pack into your house. No, it's not the person you are cohabiting with, your wife. And of course, in this part of the world, you know what the word wife means. It means that after some time, you went to the person's family and they gave you the consent. You may have shared gifts or not, but you received consent from the father to live with the daughter. If you did not, then two of you are practicing. What you are doing does not have NAFDAC certificate. It doesn't have a phone. It doesn't, they decide to look for marriages without certificate, they are coming for you. Number two, he also says, let your wife's breast, let her breast satisfy you. Today is going to be a little bit stormy. Women, so which means, I don't know why they gave me this topic. So. Please, women, which means that in front of you, there is something there for your husband. It's not only for your children. Your breast is not only for your children, it's also for your husband. So you'll allow him partake. Oh my God. Okay, I said earlier that sex is God's way, because there are some women, that area is a problem. In fact, a man said, no, I don't like going around the area because when I touch it, water will be coming out. Ah, it's your water. Drink water. Friends, yeah. It's your system. Sex is God's will. For some of us who are praying to know God's will, I'm showing you God's will now. Sex is God's will. Now, the Bible eventually goes to tell you what he means. Sanctified sexuality. Sanctified sex is God's will. Ah, Clement, now you laugh past it today. All right? That each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. So sex is holy and honorable if you control yourself. And then there are people who don't control themselves. The Bible also showed us who those people are. It says, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. So you see, there is a difference between those of us who know God and those who don't know God. We have one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. So you cannot say, my body is on fire. The Lord has given you a fire extinguisher to control your body. Then he says, and in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. What we're going to do today is to run a study of the Songs of Solomon to see how not to take advantage of someone. Songs of Solomon is a book of romance. When I gave my life to Christ, and each time I get to Songs of Solomon, I would just go away from it. I didn't understand what they were talking about. It starts with, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, for your love is so, so sweet. I said, no, this Bible is not, this place is not God that wrote it. If they are talking about kisses, it entered the Bible by mistake. Until I began to do a deep study on the Songs of Solomon, I discovered that Songs of Solomon has something to say to everybody about God's good plan. Listen, sex is a gift of God. God gave it to us as a gift. The gift of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. So if it is adding sorrow, then it's a problem. So the summary of what we're going to do today is what I'm trying to share with us. And then I want you to see that you can enjoy sex, but it is within the boundaries of marriage. And there are healthy attitudes. We're going to be seeing all those healthy attitudes. I just want to establish the summary for where we're going today. Praise the Lord. All right? I want you to look at what the Bible said here, and then we're going to link it to sex. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. Now, all of us who have been born again, you have been liberated from the bondage that came from the consequences of sin. Then, for against its will, the universe itself had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. We have been liberated. We are born again. Creation is also asking to be liberated. The entire creation, the trees, the moon, the stars, everything is standing on tiptoe, saying, those of you who have been saved, come and save us. You have been liberated. It's time to liberate creation. And one of the things that is standing on tiptoe is sex. Sex is saying, the way they are using me, I don't like it. This is not how God created me. God did not create me that I'll be used in pornography. Someone liberate me. Sex is crying out. He said, I've been subjected to empty futility because of the consequences of sin. Sex is now shouting for freedom from slavery to decay. Sex is saying, no, we're not supposed to have a man and a boy. There's something called a man-boy association. When some people started saying that they have not seen any harm in humanity when a boy sleeps with a man, sex is saying, I'm not supposed to be used like that. Sex is saying, who is the person who will deliver me? Because I'm also a creation of God. God has a plan for your love life. And the first attraction to the opposite sex through marriage. Listen, from the first time you meet the person to the end of your days, God has something to say. He has a plan for those things. So we're going to use the Songs of Solomon today to interpret God's view on love and romance as we go on. So we're going to see how to establish and how to have exciting, healthy, romantic, sexual relationship with your, not girlfriend. Okay, let's look at the introduction. Love, sex, and romance cause the greatest delight as well as the greatest pain in life. There's nothing as painful as the pain of divorce. There's nothing as painful as the pain of betrayal. There's nothing as painful as watching that the person, both of you, went to the altar and took sacred vows. There's nothing as painful as seeing that the person is cheating on you. And sometimes you're not able to, you just know that something is happening, but you can't figure out what is happening. Your husband is lying down on the bed with you, or your wife is lying down on the bed with you. It looks as if there is a third person here. There's nothing as painful as that. At the same time, love and romance is one of the greatest sources of delight. All right? And we're going to see God, who created us and gave us this gift, must have something to say on how to avoid the pain. You know why? He is intimately relational, and he created us like that. We have a relational God. The way he created us is the way he is. There is no way he has created us with such passion and without telling us how to go about it to avoid the pains that go with it. So friends, we're going to do a 7-art play. I won't take the 7 arts today. I'm just going to take about 2 of them. A study of the Song of Solomon to understand the 7-art play on how to experience healthy love, sex, romantic relationship from attraction to marriage. So, the Song of Solomon is a 7-art play on one, the act of attraction, the dating scenario, the courtship, the wedding and honeymoon, the conflict in marriage, keeping romance in marriage, and keeping fidelity in marriage. It's an 8-chapter book. It's a play between two lovers, Solomon and the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman is actually a female gender for the word, a female name for the word Solomon, to show you the love between them. We won't be able to go through these 7. Now, since we have a combined, we're going to start from the law of attraction, the act of attraction, and then maybe we leave it at dating as our time will permit. So let's look at the first one, the act of attraction. Let's read together, 1, 2, go. The first one is the man. Character is more important than everybody want to go. Okay, 1, 2, go. May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your oils have a pleasing fragrance. Your name is like purified oil. Therefore, the maidens love you. When you come to this place, it starts with the intensity of love. It starts with the excitement of love. It starts with that thing, that feeling, that ha-ha feeling. But it goes much more than that. It says it's much more than how you make me feel, how your touch. I know that somebody say, the guy is a powerful kisser. When he kisses me like this, I just forget myself. It looks as if I've just had an avalanche. It's much more than that. He says, your oil have a pleasing fragrance. The oil is actually speaking about the man's good looks. Your oil has a pleasing fragrance. Say, the guy has a V shape, the Venza shape. It's not just six packs. It has eight packs, not six. Everything about him is sweet, especially his voice. There is nothing wrong with him looking fine. Nothing wrong with him looking fine. He said, when he just holds me, his hands are so soft. If you look at when he dresses, he puts on his trouser, the way he just so takes care of himself that the cotton on the trouser is as if it's like a blade. The guy is too much. You can never find dust on his. I'm describing someone. You can never find dust on his shoes. He's just together, his hair caught, everything about him. He looks like a prince from Arabia. The most thing about him, everything I have to say, now this is someone describing to someone the person he met. The most thing about this person is, in addition to these good looks, when he talks, his voice is like John Travolta of the Greeks. He said, there's something about his voice. The voice just lights up everywhere. I can't resist the voice. He's just drop dead gorgeous. We are talking about his oil. He starts talking about the purified oil. There's a difference between the oil and the purified oil. The difference between the oil and the purified oil is the first pressing of the oil that Jews use in temple worship. Is the cleanest and it burns the brightest. So it takes good looks. It puts good looks under character. It's saying his relationship with truth, his relationship with God is even much more better, much stronger, and far better than his good looks. He said he looks good, but he is awesome when it has to do with his relationship with God. He has strong relationship with God. His character, he has the fear of God. His all. So, in the law of attraction, when you are attracting someone or someone is attracting, whoever is attracting the other, I want you to understand, good looks, we're not saying good looks are not good, but we're saying that good looks must, character must not be sacrificed on the altar of good looks. Because after you marry soon, some of them will start getting older. And when they are getting older, some of them, if they are not careful, their stomach will start coming out. And the V-shape may not look like the V-shape again. At that particular point in time, what will you do? Am I talking to someone? Are we together? Did I say anything wrong? You're answering me as if I said something wrong. I did say something wrong. When I met him 18 years ago, there was something I didn't like about him. His ears. I liked everything. In fact, the people above me say, we like the way he walks. He walks as if his leg doesn't touch the ground. But I was looking about the ear. What about the ear? But you know something? You must understand that physical looks are good, but don't sacrifice character. Look for character. Charms can be deceitful. Charm is called perfected presentation. Let's now look at the woman. Let's read together. The woman. Responsibility and what? Okay. Let's now read the scripture. Want to go? I am black but lovely. A daughter of Jerusalem. All daughters of Jerusalem. Like the tents of Kedar. Like the fountains, curtains of Solomon. Do not stare at me because I'm sweaty. For the sun has burned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me caretaker of their vineyards, but I've not taken care of my own vineyard. This woman was talking, referring to something So let's take it one after the other. She says, I'm black and lovely. I'm black and lovely. A woman's largest area of cosmetic is her skin. Some women will do anything to make sure that their skin blossoms. In fact, we are in a culture now that women can just wash, they say my skin is dirty. They'll just enter chemicals and just come out and then use chemicals to wash the skin. We have gotten to the point where you look at yourself, I don't like, my backside is not as, I want to lift it up. Then you can go and lift it. Or my front. My stomach, is flat, but I want it to look as if I don't have stomach at all, so you can go and tuck it in. And they say, my front, I don't like the way it is. It's sagging. I want to go and lift it up and then add it so that when you stand at a distance, you start. Now, this woman, when you hear Daughters of Jerusalem in a poem, if you understand Shakespearean literature, you have the choir, you have a kind of choir who stay to sing. So he's referring now, he's talking to the Daughters of Jerusalem, say, this is what has happened to me. And then like the tents of Kedar, Kedar is Abraham's grandson, is the third son of Ishmael. They are nomadic. So they live in tents. She's comparing her skin to the tent. The tent they were living in is a black, hairy tent. She's comparing her skin. Say, what I have gone through has toughened my skin up. Now, what we are looking at now is a woman who has a responsibility and is submissive to the authorities that is around her. Is a submissive woman. She's not talking about her father. She's talking about her brothers. He said, my brothers have made me take care of their own. He's talking about, so I couldn't take care of my skin. It's not that I'm ugly, but I've gone through some things. I'm very submissive to my brothers. I listen to them. This is what is happening to me. So summary, let's begin to look at the summary of this stage of the play. He says, tell me, all you whom my soul loves, where do you pasture your flock? Here, Solomon is being viewed as a good shepherd. Where do you make it lie down at noon? For why should I be like one who veils herself beside the flocks of your companion? What is happening here? She says, no, it is only a prostitute that veils herself to go and meet a man at night. So I won't use the scenario of a prostitute to meet you. I'm not going to meet you at night. No, I'm going to meet you during the day. I don't have to meet you. I won't find myself where your friends are and then all of you use me for a game. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to use immorality to meet this man. If I have to destroy my relationship with God because of a man, that man is not worth it. So this lady is saying, I'm not going to use, and you know, there's something we do as girls. You come to the man's house when it is so late at night. And when it is time to go, you say, what you're actually saying is that in our place, our gate is locked at 7:30 or 9 o'clock. And you were in that house at 8:30. It means that you have budgeted something in your heart. What this woman is saying, I'm not going to use pregnancy to trap you to marry me. I'm not going to seduce you to marry me. I won't treat myself like a prostitute. I won't throw away my dignity because I want to get a husband. We're talking about attraction. So we have talked about the man, good looks for men. Yes, good looks for women are fine. Of course, you want to have a fine wife that you can use to show off, say, my wife is. Torchlight my wife. It's okay to torchlight your wife, but there are some things we must put into consideration, that if this person that you have attracted in your life is now using tactics, is now using seductive, she's coming to your house, she will dress in such a way that she will throw you off balance. And for you, man, you know, men are very visual. Whenever she's coming to your house, she will dress in such a way that once you see, and so that could distract you from, is this person submissive? Does she have responsibility? That could distract you from that. I've told this story severally. When we started fellowship, at the end of the service, we say, everybody, oh yeah, hug everybody. We were hugging ourselves, and it was okay for us. One day, Brother Emeka, not his name, came to meet me. He says, Sister Katarina, this hug we are hugging in this church. This hug. I said, no. He said, brother, is the Bible say greet one another with the holy kiss? He said, no. He said, once I hug women, my body goes scatter. I almost put a ban on hugging. But I discovered that it is not our problem. He has some things. Even this hug we hug in this church, there are some people, when they are hugging you, their own hug is different. All right? So we must understand, men, that if the girl says, you have attracted this girl, you must now watch out. If she has agendas, there are some women who have agendas. They have said the day they are going to marry. Irrespective, they have even bought their wedding gown prophetically. And they have hung everywhere. They go and say, James, where every James are supposed to be in my life, I call you now, I call you. I call you in the name of Jesus. Some have gone to native doctors to take something. Some have gone to some places to watch something to carry. So, guy, you must now look very well. Yes, she's lovely, but is she, in this appearance, are you going to sacrifice? Does she have responsibility? All right. Summary. Let's apply what we have discussed. In searching out of the right mate, what is it that attracts two unmarried people together? Physical looks? Responsibility? Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Please, in searching out a mate, look out. Charm is perfected presentation. Charm, perfected presentation. He just knows how to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. That's very good. But look out for the fear of the Lord. Look out for someone who will not use immoral ways to try to trap you, who will not set up things for you to fall. Look out for those things. Have you noticed that there are some marriages that should not have worked if not for the raging fire of sex, premarital sex? In other words, these two people have slept together and they now mistake the passion that is going on inside them as the will of God. So they are raging to the altar, raging by the fire. Two of them have slept together. It's not, listen, if you have someone you're supposed to marry, once you sleep with the person, it is difficult for you to hear God. Even when God talks, you hear something else. Because there is fire there. Set my heart on fire for you. Your body is on fire. If your pastor, by any mistake, by any stroke, and say, come, while I was praying, there was something I saw, you will change church immediately. He said, I know they don't want me to marry. Everybody I've married in that church, I now know that Pastor Ben does not love me. As if he wants to marry the girl. Now, question I want to ask us, is it possible for your life and marriage to become a disaster by the successful courting of the wrong type of person? So, if you were in courtship and the courtship failed, the relationship was successful. If you successfully caught the wrong type of person, successfully, and two of you, because of the fire of sex, raging fire. Listen, sex is very strong, very strong. Especially when adrenaline has combined with sexual arousal emotions. And then you are in that place of Jehovah Idewo. You even answered Jehovah. You have great excitement. You have such fantasy that to bring you down from that place, the choir may need to conduct 100 hours of praise. They may need to put 1 week of praise to try to bring you back to consciousness. Because some people have sense. Once they fall in love, it will look as if their IQ dropped by 7 feet. I don't know what happens. So watch it. We have finished with that. We now want to look at the dating scenario. What happens at dating? How should two people relate when they are dating? Let's look at. While the king was at table, my perfume gave forth its fragrance. My perfume. While the king was at table, my perfume gave forth its fragrance. How handsome you are, the person who spoke here was the woman. How handsome you are, my beloved, and so pleasant. Indeed, my couch is luxuriant. He has brought me to his banquet hall, and his banner over me is love. If you look at this three times, you can see that these people were eating. We saw them at the table, we saw them at couch, we saw them at the banqueting hall. But we didn't see them have sex. So how should two people relate who are in a relation, who are in a dating relationship? How should a couple relate to each other before that time? Okay? If you look at this place, he says, he has brought me to his banqueting hall. That place simply is talking about, in the old days, the captains, the generals, they have, when it is time for war, they have banners where they put their names and put where they stand for. So their troops, that's where they gather. That's how generals recognize their troop. What this woman is saying is that this man who has come into my life does not treat me shabbily. He identifies with me. They have gone out to eat three times. He hasn't touched the woman. Some of us, it's only once he went to eat. And something... Remember when I was dating your pastor? He said, I don't trust myself. I trust you, but I don't trust myself. This my hand. It can move anywhere. So let us be sure there is someone around here who will be a referee, so that if my hand wants to move, the person will help me put it down. How should two people relate with themselves when they are dating? The first thing we see is honor and respect of love. So we're going to apply it here. To you, my darling, you are like my mare among the chariots of Pharaoh. What is mare? It's a company of horses. During the old days, horses are so useful. So this woman is talking about likening this relationship to a company of horses. In other words, the honoring and gentle way she's being treated is what he's been talking about. My beloved to me is a pouch of mare which lies all night between my breasts. My beloved to me, a cluster of hyena blossoms in the vineyards of Engad. This woman is saying, in those days, a woman will put mare around her neck to give her an aroma. This woman is saying that this man is a mare around my neck. He beautifies me. He treats me in a gentle and lovely way. In other words, for people who are dating, we must understand the culture of honor. Honor and respect. Listen, honor is not just being polite. Honor is not just being nice. Some of us think that, some of us want honor to serve us. It's much more than being polite and being nice. Honor is not just saying, I was so nice and polite to him, I didn't tell him the truth. That's not honor. And some of us take honor to the place of submission, where you are saying, I'm stronger than you, I'm bigger than you. Some men do it to their wives. Some leaders do it to their followers. Some parents do it to their children. I have power. I have strength. I have might. I'm stronger than you. Do what I say. If you don't do what I say, I will hurt you. If you don't do what I say, I will threaten you. I will make you feel pain. That's not honor. That's dishonor. Honor actually has the quality of elevating someone to your status. Honor has a quality of giving the person the kind of value you will give to yourself. Honor just simply means the very kind of value that God places in that person. And the very kind of value you place on yourself, place it on that particular person. That's what honor means. This man will always treat this woman in a very gentle, very gentle, very gentle. The person that you're courting now, how gentle is the person? How much value does the person give to you? We must understand that when we discuss relationship in Femme Foundation, we discuss relationship from the kingdom perspective. Discussing from the kingdom perspective just simply means that we're going to look at how Jesus treated the church. That's how two of us are going to treat each other. You see, if we're in a relationship and all I get from you is that you are bullying me because you are my boyfriend, you have already destroyed the culture of honor. You have more strength than me. You are stronger than me. Don't use your, don't, if you don't submit to me, I will finish you. Don't read, don't start reading things. If you don't listen to me, you're supposed to submit. In fact, I think that when we did relationship seminar at Uyi Grand, some of the young boys stood up and said that their girlfriends are not submitting to them. That their girlfriends must submit to them. And when Pastor Ben was trying to talk, the boys told Pastor Ben, since we are not married yet now, they shouldn't demand us, expect us to love them. You know, the Bible says, husband, love your wife. Wife, submit. And they say, okay, since they will submit to us now that we are not married, there's no need for us to love them when we marry them. Hey, in relationship, there must be honor. The way you treat yourself matters. There is a way to treat someone you are dating. Even someone you're not dating, there's a way to treat the person. We can't be going on the road and then there's something to carry. Men, look at you. You have more muscle. It's not those days in our village when the man, all he's holding in his hand is a coupe. He's just holding a cutlass in his hand. And then the woman is carrying a baby behind. And then he's carrying a basket with yam and antaminokro that they're going to use to eat that night. Am I talking? The baby is behind, one is in the stomach, one is on top, and the man just has a towel on his chest, and then he says, be coming. No, it means that you are the bomber of your house. The only one that is the lion of the tribe of Judah is Jesus. How can we be afraid of you in a house that is supposed to be like heaven on earth? Some of us, you are so excited. When once you come in, your children will shout, "Bomo, bomo, don't come." And everybody will fly away. No. Look at the way they are talking to each other. My beloved is, to me, a pouch of myrrh. In other words, him hanging around me gives my life a beautiful aroma. He beautifies me. There's a song by Pastor Noma taught us. He took his wife, traveled with his wife, came back. He has done for me. He has done what my father cannot do. I said, why are you singing that song? He said, the father did not take her to Canada any day. I took her. And then they are talking about the fragrance. The way you relate to me is the fragrance of a very, very costly perfume. This perfume they are talking about here, the Hyena Blossoms, was the perfume that Prophet Muhammad was using. Very expensive. In other words, the treatment, the gentle way you treat me is so expensive and makes me feel so valuable. How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful you are. Your eyes are like doves. They are going somewhere. Where are they going? Yes, I feel this because of the way you treat me. I feel this passion. They have gone to the areas of the eyes. The dove speaks of peace. Whenever I look at you, when you look at me, I feel peace. I feel there is no more war. That all these things they are saying about election. You know, people who are in love, if you fall in love now, two of you will be in a different world altogether. I'm a chronic guy here. You'll be discussing. Well, I'm telling you, I don't understand how it happens. It will look as if only both of you are in this world. You'll just be talking to each other, to one and each other, with nobody else. Any other phone call is a distraction. When the person, okay, I'll call you back. You go back to what type of discuss. You have been discussing since last night. You discuss to the point that your battery has drained out. You now put it in. You are charging, you are talking. The power bank is finished. The battery there is drained. They took light. Oh! Your own is not because you needed light. You just needed it for chatting. You have chatted that they look at your finger is paining you now because of chatting. There's something about love. Something is happening to these people. Let's see where they are going. How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful you are. Your eyes. You know, there's something about people who are in love. There is a way they will look at each other. Their body go melt. Your eyes are like dove. How beautiful, how handsome you are, my beloved. And so pleasant indeed. Her couch is luxurious. She repeats that thing again. Say, I'm looking at your eyes. You're looking at my eyes. We are dating. There's no marriage. But I'm getting some information. My nerves are shaking. I'm looking for the couch so that we'll see. Let's see what happens. Okay. They are moving somewhere. They are moving towards the desire of sexual attraction. Remember, they are not married. What these people do determines how everybody should continue to behave from now. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. Remember that somewhere this woman has said that she is black. and lovely that she's sweating, she's sunburnt. But because of the way this guy that had been dating her, had been treating her, she says, I am lovely. His behavior, the way he treats me. Now, Sharon is actually one of the most fertile place in Palestine at that particular point in time. He said, because of the way he's treating me, I'm now like the rose of Sharon. In other words, his treatment is beautifying my life. The way he talks to me, the way he treats me, the way he handles things that has to do with me is making me feel better. And the lily of valleys. Then he says, like a lily among the thorns, so is my darling among the maidens. It's Solomon that is talking now. He said, amongst all the women, this woman for me stands out. Now, he's giving her security. See, in this relationship, it's both of us. There's nobody who is coming. I'm not interested in any other person. I'm just interested in you. One of the things that those of us who are men must understand for a woman is that if people get into courtship or you have something to do with a woman, one of the greatest needs of a woman is security. She needs to know that she's the only one in your life that matters to you like this. That I'm not talking to people who are married. When I'm talking to people who are married, I will talk about something different. But even at this particular point in time, your mother is not your wife. You must let your mother know. Two of you must let your parents know that they have their places, but she shouldn't take the place of your wife. Some of us, it is your mother that is still making all the decisions in your house. It's not good. It makes the woman feel insecure. At this particular point in time, I'm not asking women to check their wife's phone, their husband's phone. I don't check mine. I don't check mine. And I didn't meet him as a pastor. I meet him as Bobo. When I say Bobo, correct Bobo. We was not a church boy. The way Pastor Ben transitioned is a miracle. I met him with about two or three girls together. Fine boy. Fine boy. I had to start. I just asked myself, where am I going to start? Some people say around me, say, this one that has you met with three girls, forget about it. He won't allow you to do this work you are doing. You will always be distracted. You will break your heart. You will be sleeping with guests in church. I was now using one eye like this to look at him. I was watching him on 3D. So one day, the thing was so much. Then someone came just a few days to our wedding. A few months. One girl says, I'm pregnant for him. You know what I did? No need for me to. I just called him. Please, Benson, please, can I see you? No, I wasn't ready for heartbreak. I just said, I'm not ready. This relationship is over. She said, what did you say? I said the relationship is completely over. And I was going. He said, hold on. Well, when we started a relationship, I told you that I wanted this. And you said I should give you some time to think about it. Now you say it's over. Also give me some time to go and think about it and give you a feedback. Pastor Peter, they don't ask you. And then when my father-in-law started saying, no, you won't go and marry an Igbo woman because we had some challenges with Igbo women in this family. Pastor Ben, forget that he talks very gently, very tough. And then it had to come to a point where I have to go take me to him. He said, that's your husband. He said, one day we're having challenge. Me and his mother were having a challenge. Small boy, he told me that you're a wicked man. And I said, I'm going to wait for him. Anytime he's going to marry, then I'm going to meet him. When he went to the man, I said, what I want to say to you is, if you're not ready to follow me, I'm going to go alone and bring this woman. And then later on, you will regret for not following me. My father-in-law followed. The day they were dedicating Yeshua, my father-in-law apologized to me for saying his son should not marry me. He said it was a mistake. If I knew. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going somewhere. So if you say that, you see, I be Bobo, I married Bobo. Even the way he dresses and talks, you go, no saying a Bobo I married. Me, I can go into my wardrobe, pull out anything, where I'm moving. Then he said, my wife, why are you going to come? Come back. And then we start afresh. He will take his time. The socks must match with the shirt. The shirt must match with the boxers. I don't understand. Verse 3. Let's try and close. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest. They are going somewhere. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. This lady is saying something is happening to my body. Now remember that an apple tree in the forest is just saying an apple tree I can eat. All the other trees are bearing trees, I can't eat them. They are not good for me. I prefer an apple tree. Now look at what she said. So is my beloved among other men. There are several other men. The sense of security comes again. This is the only man in my life. I want to eat him. He says, in his shade, they are going sexual. In his shade, I took great delight and sat down. Remember, if you have an apple tree and you want to take shade under an apple tree, what do? You go under. So he's talking about, I'm thinking about this man, me lying down on the bed and him coming on top of me. They are talking about sexual attraction. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. He's talking about how she will feel when they eventually have sex. But they haven't had one. So we're going to discover if these people had sex at courtship, I will not release everybody to go and start having sex at courtship. Now he says, he has brought me to his banquet hall. He's talking about the way he treats me. I told you what this means. And then his banner over me is love. In other words, everything this person does around me makes me feel loved and wanted. Do you know a woman? Tell her she's really wanted. Now we're going somewhere. Sustain me with raisin cakes. Refresh me with apples because I am lovesick. This is called aphrodisiac. These are fruits that indulge, that push you into strong sex drive. And if you go to Hosea chapter 3 verse 1, you discover that God was saying to Hosea, he said, go and take a woman you love, but she's still an adulteress. Then God makes an example. He says, Israel, I love Israel, but Israel is eating raisin cakes. Whenever you see raisin cakes, it's actually talking about sex symbol because of the seeds that are in them. He said, refresh me with apples because I'm lovesick. What he's saying now is that I love you so much. I have strong sexual attraction towards you. I feel strong passion. Let his hand, now this is fondle me. Let his hand be under my head. And his right hand embraced me. He's talking about sexual position. He said, listen, I really want to have sex with this person. Now listen to me, friends. As a human being, your sexuality is not bad. Those inherent feelings you feel inside you, they are not bad. But what we're now going to do is how do we steward them in such a way that your sexuality will become worship unto God. Let's find out what they do here determines what everybody will do. If they had sex, everybody, you are free. Anybody you see, just touch. Now this is a section. Let his hand be under my head. So now the man is on top, the woman is under. This is what she's wishing that will happen. Let's now find out whether they had sex. I adjure you, all daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the hinds of the field, that you do not arouse, awaken my love until she is ready. There's a proper time. Yes, I know you have all these feelings, but this is not the right time for it to happen. There's a proper time for sex. Listen, you need to hold breaks. See, this thing, this raging fire, if you move, I don't trust that something will not happen and you're not married to me. He said, please, don't wake up the fantasies inside me, because if that wakes up, it will be like the north wind and I will not be able to control it. Friends, so they didn't have sex. They stopped. We must know how to hold breaks because there is no marriage. Please, in concluding this part, how do we apply it? We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that if you attracted someone into your life, don't go physical. I don't want to talk about soul ties. The way this person is treating you should make you to be a better person. The pointers that I've attracted the right person is that my life is becoming better. I'm improving. I'm going from the negatives to the positive. I'm discovering my redemptive gifts. I'm using it. I'm developing myself. The second one, please don't go physical. The third one, if someone gets into your life, now you break your relationship with God, you break your relationship with this body, with the church, with the body of Christ, you lie to your parents, the relationship make you feel guilty, that relationship is not worth it. We can put brakes. There is a proper time. Sex is good, sex is right, sex is normal. But there is a ripe time for sex. Don't awaken love before the time comes. Rise on your feet. Come and sing for me. We're going to pray. We have about 4 minutes. We're going to pray a very short prayer. We're going to lift up our sexual life to God once more. Some of us, in your relationship with your wife, you have gone into emotional dating. You didn't practically date the woman, but two of you were exchanging emotions. I will show you somewhere that you had sex. Because sex is not just when there is something that happened between you. The Bible says if you look at a woman lustfully, each time you think about sex, you have had sex from the standpoint of Jesus. We're going to rededicate our lives, our sexuality to God once more. And then for those of us who are not married, if at any particular point in time, your sexuality had been unsanctified, and then the doors were open, we're going to rededicate them back to God. Just a simple prayer because we just have little time left. You're going to sing for me, Pieces. Pieces. Lord, today, go with me. Lord, today, I rededicate my sexuality unto you. Lord, today, I pray that every part of my sexual experience will come into alignment with divine will in the name of Jesus. Father, everywhere I defiled the marriage bird, anywhere I allowed love to be, to everywhere I allowed love to overflow out of its boundaries, I ask you to forgive me. Today I go for pure love. I declare that my sexuality is redeemed. I declare that my sexual experience is redeemed. Lord, every sexual orientation and addiction and perversion and fantasy that is perverted, that is not like the gift of sex, I pray today for total redemption in that aspect of my life, in the name of Jesus.
Unreserved, unrestrained, your love is wild. Your love is wild for me. It isn't shy, it's unashamed. Your love is proud same with me, to be same with me, yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't give your heart in pieces.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.